We've heard there's scriptures regarding it and sayings as well, talking about God working in mysterious ways. And truly He does. One scripture also talks about His ways are past finding out. In other words, there's some things in this life we never may really fully understand. But eventually we will. If we're faithful to the Lord, we'll understand it by and by. Song talks about that. When we get to the other side, everything will make 100% sense. But we're on this side of eternity. And as life goes along, as life happens sometimes, you maybe might scratch your head a little bit, maybe question, not necessarily questioning God's authority or who He is, but maybe wonder, well, how is this going? Or how is this happening? But I want to read a couple of scriptures. And I won't read all the story here. Basically, this is Apostle Paul. And he has a thorn in the flesh. We'll start with verse 7. We could start earlier, but anyway, we'll just read here. "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." And there's a lot that could be said there, but I think it's pretty self-explanatory that God in His wisdom saw that Paul needed a thorn in the flesh, basically to keep him humble, essentially. In verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," three times, "that it might depart from me." And we'll just stop and think about that for a moment. I don't believe that there's an exact number that God is places or requires that we seek Him. Scripture talks different times about just seeking the Lord continually, having a that it's not something that. But I believe in this particular instance, Apostle Paul prayed specifically about this thorn in the flesh, and in his thinking, in his understanding, and the way he thought this should work, he's thinking that this needs to be gone. Lord, take this thorn out. And three times. And that would typify perseverance. He was maybe boldly coming through the throne of grace. But it's just like, it's supplication before the Lord and seeking the Lord. And it's like, Lord's, no, I'm just going to leave it. And he seeks the Lord again. No, I'm just going to leave it. And even a third time. And you know, in life, I've heard of individuals that maybe have prayed for a particular situation to work out or to meet a certain need. And it looked like that was just the thing that needed to happen. But I want us all to be reminded here tonight that God always has a better plan than what we have. We think we can have some good plans, and quite frankly, occasionally, we just might happen to get it right, at least for a short while. But we really don't see the whole picture, that if we really do achieve this or we get that or God works that out, that it could actually bring leanness to our souls. God's wise enough to see that in the distance. We aren't. He sees that if we get all the things we request, and perhaps with Apostle Paul, perhaps God saw in His infinite wisdom that if I remove this thorn after his third plea with the Lord, and the Lord finally says, okay, I'll take it out. And what if? Just what if God would have removed that? How would have Paul ended up? I don't know. It may have been just enough to weaken him that in the end, he may have recanted and gave in to the pressure to, you know, say, well, there's nothing to it, you know, and, oh, I'm going to be persecuted. You're going to put me to death. Well, I don't want to do that. I got more things I need, you see, and start reasoning with the Lord again, saying, Lord, no, you know, and he may have lost out on something. But, you know, I'm thankful that the Lord, he's always right. He sees, and here's the amazing thing. It doesn't say, well, we'll see what the Lord says in response. But in verse 8 it says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. But verse 9 says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I want to focus on that phrase just for a little bit. Basically, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Another translation says it this way. My power works best in weakness. God's power works best in weakness. And then it says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And mean perfect, meaning accomplished, fulfilled. And it goes on to say, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So, you can look at it this way. Humans can do impressive things. There's certain things that, you know, it's impressive. Abilities, skills, that things people can do. I'm like, wow, you know. But you know what's even more impressive? Is when God enables someone to do something. Well, you know that they could never do that. How did they do that? The power of God behind them. You see? That to me is much more impressive than any other physical abilities or mental, you know, intelligence of whatever. That can be impressive. But to really see the Spirit of the Lord move upon someone and to raise them above themselves, well, just start from the basics. To save them from sin. Just a saved, rejuvenated, redeemed soul. As Sister Robin was saying, that the freedom, the being set free from bondage, like, they couldn't do that on their own. I remember who they were. That is what's real impressive to me. And what it amounts to is, that's when God truly gets the glory, you see? And in this situation, that's what God was focusing on. He wanted glory to be brought to himself, not to Paul. And that's why he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And he goes on to say, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That says a lot. That, you know, that takes faith to say that. That's not for the faint-hearted. That's not just for, if you could put it this way, a novice just to... No, that's someone that's been in the way a while. That's experienced life. That has experienced the power of God doing something time and time again. Well, they knew when they reached the end of their rope, so to speak, and time again, God came in and moved upon the scene just in time, just to prove that he's still God. And you ever heard of the older generations talk about the difficult and harsh days that they had to endure? You know, I've heard the stories. In fact, I'm starting to get to the age where I even kind of talk that way a little bit, but I don't have near as much to brag about. But you hear those that especially grew up in the Great Depression. That was some true hardship. And you know what? They learned, talk about the basics of life, what's really necessary. And they learned how to stick together. And they learned how to rely on God. I mean, how many times have you heard the stories where they were literally down to just two more basic ingredients in their house? Maybe flour and oil or whatever, or potatoes and some, you know, hardly anything left to eat. And the next day, God would send someone or give them a job or whatever, and they'd have enough food then for the next day. It was just day by day. God provided for them. But they learned truly who was in control. And they learned that God hadn't forgot about them. We were talking earlier. God's never going to leave them alone, especially those that are truly depending and counting on Him. But talking about the older generations and the things they reflect upon and the stories they share, their testimonies are they were really made stronger through those adversities. And it made them, they appreciated then just the basics, more so than those that have had everything just handed to them, so to speak. They haven't learned some lessons in life that maybe they need to learn, you know. But it's something, there's something about when God looks upon His creation, you know, just as parents, they look upon their children, especially when they're young. And parents have a way of allowing things to happen for their good. In other words, I've heard stories of maybe mothers specifically. Maybe they're trying to teach them how to sleep in their baby crib, you know, for the first time, you know, instead of with mom and daddy, you know, in the bedroom, you know, trying to wean them from that or teach them all kind, whatever. But, and to the baby, to the infant or to the child, it seems so cruel. But, you know, the parents, they're looking upon them like, no, this is for your own good. You need to be stretched here a little bit. You need to suffer a little bit of loneliness, you know, and separation there for, because you need to mature. You know, you need to learn to eventually operate on your own, essentially, mature. But as parents, we have a way of doing that, and it's through all kinds of processes of life. But it's no different with the Lord. You know, He doesn't want us all to stay in the infant stage, spiritually speaking. I mean, how good would the church be if we were all just a bunch of little whiny babies? Just always whining and complaining about, oh, that didn't go well. Oh, that, and oh, I got a little hangnail, and oh, I stubbed my toe. You know, always little things like, Apostle Paul talked about it. I need some strong meat. Wean them off of that milk. Let's get them some real essence here. Some real, something strong, something stout, something to make our spiritual muscles grow, stretch them a little bit. But there is something about, and a person doesn't, I don't think, realize it, and I think that's just the natural course of life. The older you get, the more of those things you see and understand. And now I want to focus back on another point here. It says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now I want to talk about something in the natural sense, in our human bodies. And I touched on this just a little bit ago. But our adrenaline is an amazing thing. It really is. How I've heard of stories and I've witnessed a few things, but one story I'll never forget. I think I've shared it here before. It was years ago. I was with my parents, I believe. And of course I didn't see it, but they saw an accident happen right in front of them. And it was over here by the Walmart intersection there, the main intersection. At that time it was just a four-way stop. So it was years ago. Anyway, so someone had ran the red light and hit a car and really did some severe damage. And so my dad, he pulled up behind it, and the others had gathered there around too. They were trying to help this lady that was inside the car that had been hit, and it was in bad shape. Well, they didn't know what to do. But there was a man there and it was one man did this. The door, they couldn't get the door open. They were trying to get her out. But he literally ripped the door off of the car. And my dad witnessed the whole thing. He's like, that was not just that. There was something going on there. You know, it was adrenaline. And enabled him to, yeah, God behind it too, but it was just the fact that just a man in his natural state could not do that. But he ripped the door off. Unfortunately, she ended up dying anyway. But just an example of the adrenaline. That's an amazing thing. And I was mentioning earlier how in the natural sense, man can do a lot of things and we can be impressed. But how much more impressive? Remember the story of Samson. And we won't take time to touch on all these. And this was a physical demonstration of God's power. But yet there was something amazing. Remember the time when he took the off the city gate on his back, carried it off? Okay, so the enemy's thinking, wow, who are we dealing with here? And then the time when they tied him with cords and he broke the cords off, and then he grabbed the jawbone and slew, I think, 1,000 it was. And other cases, of course, when he was there with Delilah, and they tied him up again, he kept breaking them. And then finally, after they cut his hair, he couldn't. But there was one more time. After they'd imprisoned him, he made him a servant, slave, whatever. And he prayed one more time before his death. Lord, help me out again. And you know, I believe Samson had come to the point. I believe in his heart he had humbled down before the Lord. He recognized, realized his fault in doing what he had. Allowing a woman to trick him, deceive him. And he forfeited the power of God. But one more time, God and His Spirit paid him a visit. And in that day, when he pushed those pillars, he killed more, it said, in that time than he had before. And the Spirit of God came upon him and empowered him to do that. And how many other cases throughout the Scriptures have we heard of ones, whether it's Gideon or King David, and the list goes on of different ones that in the natural sense, it was impossible. There's no way they could do this or do that. But they did. And it was the Lord that empowered them. And you know, I dare say a lot of those warriors, you know, maybe secretly, they were praying, oh Lord, not me. No. Get someone else. Especially, you know, think of David. And he's, you know, looking at all his brothers like, aren't you guys going to do something? And all the other, you know, aren't you guys going to do something? But he rose to the occasion. And God met him there when he went out to face Goliath. And Gideon the same. He was hiding, you know, doing his work. And God's called him a mighty man of valor. God made something of him. And even when they tried to make him king, he's like, oh no. But there's something about when God moves upon someone and make something of them. Just like Apostle Paul. You know, it took a process to bring him down to a level where he finally realized, and it was on the road to Damascus there, and he was struck blind, and he realized, it's not about me. It's not about me. About what I can do, and what I can figure out, and what I can muster up, and what I can... No. It's about what the Lord can do. And you know, if we can think of it in those terms, when we get to heaven, there's not going to be anyone saying, look what I did. It's all going to be glory and praise to the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. When we see Jesus and we fall at His feet and say, you didn't have to. I wasn't worthy. of the blood that you shed for me on the cross. We're just humans. We're just flesh and blood. And we, God allows us to get to places in our lives to where we are weak. God doesn't want us to stay in that condition and that frame of mind. But yet it's the dependency, the trust in the Lord that He's wanting us to get to realize we can't rely upon ourselves. We can't even rely upon our fellow man because they'll fail us too. What's the scripture say in Psalms? It is better to trust in the Lord than to have confidence in man. You know, that goes for us individually and for all mankind. Because we'll let ourselves and each other down because we're human. But God never will fail us. He'll never let us down. As I mentioned this morning, love never fails. God is love. He's never going to fail us. He's never going to forsake us. He's never going to leave us. Why do we doubt? Because we're human. But dear ones, let's not stay there in that mode of doubt and fear and in clouds. Yeah, it's sometimes, maybe it is our walk of life. Maybe for a short time. I want to tell you something. There's another scripture I want to read in closing. 2 Timothy 1 and 7, familiar scripture. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." A sound, a complete mind, a mature mind. One that's the mind of Christ, the scripture talks about. That means we are constantly seeking to glorify God, not ourselves, not someone else, not an organization, not anything, but to glorify God. That's a sound mind. That's a mind that is focused on God's original plan, why He even made you and I. That's having the mind of Christ. Because when Jesus came, that was His sole purpose. Is to do the will of His Father. Over and over and over. The scriptures bear that out. And He would say it Himself. I came to do the will of the Father. Oh Lord, help us. That we would be willing, as Apostle Paul said here, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I don't think there's anything else we would desire than to have the power of Christ and God's Holy Spirit to be within us and going with us through life. What more could we ask? What better thing could we have than to have the Comforter with us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year? All the time, as Aunt Emily was saying, through all the seasons of life, even. Because we all go through seasons of life. We'll go through a season of, maybe this is kind of our theme, or this is our trend, or these are the types of things we deal with, whether it's just our circumstances, whether it's with children, or a companion, or extended family, or on our job, or whatever. And then God brings us through another season. And then another season. And all the way through, we're saying, Lord, it's Your glory. That's my number one focus. Lord, that You be glorified through my life. You pray for me that I'll be faithful to the Lord.